Let's just bow our heads. Father in heaven, this subject we've chosen today is very important, and may it gobble up every other and be the centerpiece of everyone's life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ our righteousness. You know, throughout the history of the Christian church, fanatics have taken a good thing, striving for holiness, and taken it to an extreme, which has resulted in pietism, sanctificationism, perfectionism, legalism, monasticism, and of course that good old ever-dependable Pharisaism. These extreme forms of righteousness by works have even reared their ugly heads from time to time in good Bible-believing churches. Sometimes even historic churches, members who are very conservative and think that hearkening back to the days of old will somehow make them more acceptable to God. And as a Seventh-day Adventist, many times we've had to deal with perfectionism and legalism. And that's why I'm so very intent on making sure that everyone that ever hears me preach understands that there is no one perfect but Jesus, and that only Jesus Christ will be perfect when Christ comes. He's the only one who will be perfect. Everyone else's perfection will be garnered or received from Jesus Christ. He will give you His perfection as a gift. He will credit you with His righteousness. And a lot of people don't understand that the human being, the human condition, is sinful from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. And even after we're converted, we still have a carnal nature, and we are still carnal in every way, but we now have a spiritual nature that goes to war with that carnal nature. That nature remains until the second coming of Jesus. And that's where people get goofed up. They think that they start teaching glorification now instead of sanctification now. Sanctification is when God is setting you apart for heaven and trying to get you to be more like Christ. And sanctification is given to you as a gift of the Holy Spirit. And as the sanctification of the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, you begin to hate the things you used to love and love the things you used to hate. But glorification doesn't come until Jesus comes, when He removes the carnal nature and gives you a new nature. Now, I want you to know what the law demands. The law demands an absolute, flawless, perfect life from the moment of your birth to the moment of your death. In order to meet the demands of God's law and be saved, you have to be willing, when you're born, and able to never sin from the moment of your birth to the moment of your death. You have to never become cross with anyone. You have to never say a word that is mean or sarcastic or unkind. You have to always eat exactly what the Bible says you should eat. You have to walk the walk. Jesus Christ was absolutely perfect. He was flawless. He never sinned even one time. Do you realize how incredible that is? Jesus Christ never once got angry, never once was short with anybody, never once was rude to a clerk at the market, never once said anything that was wrong. Every single minute of His life, Jesus was kind and tolerant and loving. He is the Mount Everest of righteousness. Can we all say amen to that? Now, one of my favorite authors, the same one that wrote that little book, made this statement in one of the books that I read that she wrote. She said, "The noblest and greatest of men were but a faint reflection of the character of Christ." I believe it's Mount of Blessing, page 49. The noblest and greatest of men are but a faint reflection of the character of Christ. Jesus is Mount Everest, and our character is a molehill. John the Baptist, if Jesus said this, will you say amen? Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet who ever lived. Now, if he said that, would you say amen? John the Baptist said he was not worthy to untie Jesus' sandal. Now, if the greatest prophet who ever lived was so imperfect and unworthy that he couldn't even untie Jesus' sandals, how arrogant do you have to be to tell God that you're going to be perfect and get to the place where you never sin? You have to be pretty arrogant. Not only do you have to be arrogant, you have to be totally self-deceived, so much so that you don't even get who you are. And whenever anybody tells me that they have to be perfect and they're working on it, I had one guy tell me as a pastor, he said, "Pastor, I haven't sinned in 3 weeks." I said, "Come here, Rick. You just bragged to me about not sinning." Oops, got to start over, sorry. To dare to say to God, "I'm going to be perfect." It's just astounding. Christ's righteousness alone, HMS Richards used to tell me personally, "Tom, the only righteousness that anybody has is sitting at the right hand of God." He said, "There is no righteousness on this earth." And he said, "If you don't believe it, read Psalm 14. All men fall short of the glory of God. There is none who doeth good, no, not one." That includes Enoch. People always love to talk about Enoch. "Oh, I want to be like Enoch so I can be translated. I have to become perfect so I can be translated." Please, Enoch was a sinner. Enoch was saved by the blood of Jesus just like everybody else. There's only one lamb, and only his DNA can get you to heaven. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's not the Enoch way where you perfect your character and become so good God has to take you. You know, that appeals to some people. You know why? Because it's all about them. I can work hard. I can be an elite Seventh-day Adventist. I can be better than all those ones who don't study. I can really be holy. I had a friend of mine once say he was going to be the first perfect person since Jesus. He's now a professor at Andrews University. His name is Wright, George Knight. He's always right, George Knight. George Knight, great author. He wrote a book called "I Used to Be Perfect." He figured it out. Christ's righteousness is our only righteousness. We have no righteousness apart from Jesus. He is our only hope of salvation. Our works cannot justify us with God, and as sinners, we cannot become sinless until Jesus comes and removes our sinful flesh. Only when we receive our glorified bodies will we be sinlessly perfect. All of our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ alone. He alone is worthy to be praised. He alone is perfect. He alone is sinless. He alone is perfection personified. He alone, period, no comma, period. We are sinners. We will be till Jesus comes. All our sins, conscious and unconscious, are punishable by death. There is no free pass on unconscious sin. We can't minimize sin and try to say, "Oh, well, that was deliberate and that wasn't," because we always judge everybody else by the letter of the law, but we judge ourselves by our good intention. And God's law doesn't work that way. You have to be absolutely, flawlessly obedient all the time. You have to have a lifetime of perfect obedience, or it's not good enough ever, no matter what. And in the Psalms it says, "All men are liars." And if we say we have no sin, according to 1 John chapter 1, about verses 8 to 10, if we say we have no sin, we're liars and the truth is not in us. So, there are many verses that tell you this. Isaiah 64:6 tells you that all your righteousnesses are filthy rags. Now, notice it doesn't say all your sins are filthy rags. No. We always think that. No. It's talking about our best efforts. the good stuff, when we do everything we can do, we're still filthy rags. Our best, our prayers in church are filthy rags. You know, our prayers wouldn't even be acceptable if Jesus didn't take his righteousness and mix them with our prayers. Our prayers would be unfit for God's holy ears to hear if the Holy Spirit didn't change them and interpret them. And if Jesus didn't mix in his righteousness with our prayers, God would not hear our prayers. So even our prayers are imperfect. What's that say about your supposed obedience and your good works? Now, that doesn't mean they're not important. Once you're saved by grace through Christ's righteousness, then your obedience is an act of love and devotion that shows God you love him, and you should be as obedient as you possibly can. Go for it. Try to be as perfect as you can be. You won't equal the pattern, but it doesn't hurt to try, does it? Go for it. But never, never, never consider yourself holy or perfect. Only Jesus is holy. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, one verse in the Bible makes it crystal clear. Revelation 15:4. Is that verse true or isn't it? Up in heaven, the Lamb is on his throne, and the angels say to Jesus, "We worship you, for you alone are holy." Is that true? None of us can claim to be holy. Now, don't mind, some people, you know, they're diabetics and they need to eat, and, you know, they have hypoglycemia and things like that. So don't mind, some people did have to go. So give them our blessing. And I won't keep you too long, I promise. I like this. "We cannot say I am sinless till this vile body is fashioned like unto his glorious body. Those who would be true to God, their only hope is in the mercy of God. They are fully conscious of the sinfulness of their lives. They see their weakness and unworthiness. The followers of Christ have sinned. He who has been most abused by their ingratitude, who knows their sin, they may have imperfections of character. They may have failed in their endeavors, but they have repented, and I have forgiven and accepted them." That's a beautiful way of putting it from Patriarchs and Prophets. And Christians realize that their character is imperfect, their life is faulty, but even if the enemy overcomes us, we're not cast off, not forsaken, not rejected of God. No, Christ is at the right hand of God who makes intercession. The closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes, for your vision will be clear and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to his perfect nature. No deep-seated love for Jesus can dwell in a heart that does not realize its own sinfulness. If we do not see our own moral deformity, it is unmistakable evidence that we have not had a view of the beauty and excellence of Christ. Now, that's from that little book, Steps to Jesus, that you gave out. So I thought I'd read you some of the things out of that book, just so you'd get it. The closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes. And I say these liar preachers who go around telling you that if you just follow their 10-step program, then you'll be happy, and then you'll overcome, and then all things will work out, and you'll have all the money and everything you want, and you'll be happy and joyful, and you'll never have a tough day. Please. They are lying. The Bible says in the last days, people will come and preach smooth things to your itching ears. Don't listen to that. The closer you get to Jesus, the more faulty and imperfect you're going to look. It's the exact opposite of what these people have been preaching, and some of them for 40 years. They're telling you, you have to work on your character and become perfect and get holier and holier until Jesus comes, and then you're ready for translation. Yeah, right. You're not ready for translation. Christ is ready for translation because he's your Savior. He'll save you. It's not about you and your works. It's about Christ and his works. The perfect works of Jesus Christ that he did for 33 years down here on earth. That's what saves you. It's not about what we do for God. It's about what God has done for us. If you're always talking about what we have to do for God, what you eat, what you wear, where you go, how you do it, how perfect or imperfect your character has to be, blah, blah, blah. If it's all about you and what you have to do for God, you're a legalist. and you're on the way to hell, and you better repent of your legalism and recognize that it's not about you and what you do for Jesus Christ. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for you. He's your only hope, your only salvation. You can't manufacture a character even near good enough. I should tell you what it really says. I'm cringing, though. I hate to say it. Okay, Isaiah 64, 6. All your righteousness is as rags. The literal Hebrew translation is menstrual rags. Ouch. That's what our righteousness is to God. What's he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us you're a filthy, corrupt sinner who's lost, hopelessly lost, apart from my son. He's your only hope. You can't be good enough. You could work your whole life. You could never manufacture a lifetime of perfect obedience. From the time of your conversion on, if you were perfect from then on, it wouldn't be good enough because all the sins you committed before would take you down. Christ never sinned once. Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. No wonder John said, I'm not fit to untie his shoe. Look at the Lamb. He's perfect. Worship him. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. Every single Christian has to say that. This is the only Jesus that will save you and take you to heaven. The character perfection Jesus that these liar preachers have been preaching to you will not take you to heaven. There is no character perfection Jesus. This Jesus that John preached is the only Jesus you can have. If you want another Jesus to come along and recognize your piety and acknowledge how perfect you are and how holy you are and how hard you've worked to develop your Christian perfection, that Jesus is not coming. That Jesus does not exist. Works righteous Christians who are trying to be righteous by developing their perfection and their characters are the worst enemy of the gospel there is, because they take the carnal nature and they wrap it in a beautiful wrapping paper and they say, see, I'm okay, I can do it. Look at me, I have a pretty bow. Look at my gold wrapping paper. Well, take the paper off and look in the box and you will see a whitewashed sepulcher filled with dead men's bones. They are sinners through and through, lost, hopelessly lost. And their supposed good works and perfection is foul in the sight of God. I have to share this with you. This is another one of those statements that just blew me away when I read it. You know, the Bible says, for all have come short of the glory of God. And then it says in Romans 3, 20 to 23, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast, as our scripture said today. We are not saved by our works, we're saved by Jesus' works. It's that simple. Now we're saved to work. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, God wants you to be obedient. He wants you to try to be holy and live a righteous life. But Paul the Apostle said, I want to be found not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Those who are really seeking a perfect Christian character will never indulge in the thought that they are sinless. Those professedly sanctified persons are not only deluding their own souls, but their pretensions, but are exerting an influence to lead astray many who earnestly desire to do the will of God. So without a doubt, the closer you come to Christ, the Bible says, the more you will see your own faults and imperfections. These people are telling you the closer you come to Christ, the holier you're supposed to get. You're supposed to get more perfect. Everything's supposed to become more sanctified. Well, it is. But when you become more sanctified, you see your own faults and imperfections more clearly because you have a clearer vision of Jesus. And as you see Jesus more clearly, you contrast him to yourself and you go, oh, I'm getting worse. And people give up and they get discouraged when they shouldn't. They start to read their Bible, they start to pray, and then they start to realize how sinful and awful they are, and they say, I'm going to quit reading my Bible. The more I read it, the worse I get. And that's because you've been taught and told that the more you read your Bible and pray, the better you're supposed to get. It's the exact opposite. The more you read your Bible, the more you pray, the more you have your devotions, the closer you're going to get to Jesus, the worse you're going to look in your own eyes. You're going to see more of your faults and imperfections, but don't be discouraged. Paul, who was one of the most righteous men, I believe, who ever lived, he said, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? I thank be to God it's been done through Jesus Christ. See, for Paul, it wasn't about him. He said, I'm a wretch. There is no good thing in me. But I'm going to be found not in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness which comes from God by faith. So I'm excited. I'm going to be delivered by Jesus. Praise God. Thank God I'm going to be delivered. It's not all about me. It's not all about my nature. It's about love to God and service to my brothers and sisters. See, y'all think you got to do good stuff so you make God love you and feel better about you. Like Adam and Eve, you run around trying to find a fig leaf, you know. You sin, and then for 3 days you don't read your Bible and you don't pray because you figure, well, I got to be good for a while. If I'm good for 3 days, then God will accept me back. No, the minute you blow it, go right back to God. Say, God, I blew it. I'm sorry. No fig leaves. Here I am. I'm naked and ashamed, and I shouldn't have done it, and forgive me. I love you. And that's the kind of relationship God wants to have, where you're real with Him, where you're honest and open about the things you do and don't do, and where even though you're a miserable wretch, even though there's no good thing in you, you cling to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and God will accept you and credit you with Christ's perfect character, and you will be looked at by God as if you'd never sinned. Isn't that beautiful? God looks at us as if we've never sinned. We cannot add to the salvation that Jesus completed 2,000 years ago. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago for all the sins you're going to commit in the time of trouble after probation closes. They've already been paid for. So don't sweat what's going to happen after probation closes, okay? Because whoever is saved is going to be saved, who's ever lost is going to be lost, and nothing can change that anyway. Don't worry about that. Just worry about every day staying close to Jesus. And then when you get to the time of trouble, you'll be able to handle it one day at a time just like you always have. So isn't that a beautiful thing? We cannot add to anything. Jesus doesn't make up the difference. We don't try really hard to be really good and then Jesus makes up the difference. No. All of our works are useless as far as righteousness is concerned. None of what we do counts toward our salvation. Only Christ's righteousness saves us. We don't add to Jesus. He doesn't add to us. We have nothing to add. We have no righteousness to add to it. And then I wanted to say, Christ's character alone is perfect. We cannot attain it by works. It can only be attained by faith. It is a gift of God, by God's grace alone, and is the only character worthy of entrance into heaven. Our best efforts are nothing. They are valuable to God only as an outward demonstration of our inward acceptance of Christ's free gift to us as an act of love and devotion. Now, I want to read a quote from Sanctified Life, and this is a very good one. It says, okay, the sinner may err, but he's not cast off without mercy. Even our religious services, the prayers, the praise, the penitent confession of sin ascend from true believers, passing through corrupt channels of humanity. They are so defiled that unless purified by the blood, they can never be of value to God. Our prayers, our praise, and our religious services. So in church, on our best day, when we're in our Sabbath best, and we're praying to God, those offerings of worship. Have you ever thought about how you worship? You're sitting there in church, and your mind wanders, and you start thinking about what you got to make for dinner this afternoon, or you're thinking about the fellowship dinner, or you're distracted and you look at some kid coloring and so you watch him color. Now, you're supposed to be here to worship God, right? God, the infallible, omnipotent God, you're in His presence, you're supposed to be here to worship Him, and we present Him this kind of worship. We're kind of lukewarm, we yawn in His face, we don't really sing the hymns with any passion. We get up, my hope is in on Him, boy, I wish this hymn would get over, it's kind of boring because it's old. How long is this preacher going to preach anyway? Okay, I got here. I want to eat my food, man. How long is this guy going to run? Now, I'm going to read again. Our religious services, the prayers, the praise, the penitent and confession of sin, ascend from true believers passing through corrupt channels of humanity. They are so defiled that unless purified by the blood, they can never be of value to God. So this is what we're offering Him as our worship. Think about your worship. The iniquity of supposed holy things. That's why Jesus had to wear that plate on His head as a high priest that said, holy unto the Lord. He takes our imperfect worship, He washes it in His blood, passing through the corrupt channels of humanity. Who's that? It's us. When I pray, it goes through my carnal nature. It's unfit for a holy God. But through the Holy Spirit and the righteousness of Christ, God accepts it. Come boldly before the throne of grace, O carnal natured human being who is so unworthy. Come boldly before the throne of grace and don't be afraid, because God Himself has already made provision for your salvation. Even though you're corrupt, even though your prayers, your religious services are unworthy, even though your supposed obedience that you're so proud of, heard a lady get up and say, I got the victory over chocolate this week. I was like, oh, is that what the blood of Christ is for? Okay, all right, big deal. Now they find out that it actually makes men live 10 years longer who eat some dark chocolate. But we won't go there. Anyways, it's so funny the things we think and the things we do. What's it all about? It's all about Christ, His works, what He did for you on the cross. When you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, you acknowledge that nothing you can do can save you, that you don't have a penny to pay the debt, that God paid it all for you. And all you can do is say, thank you. I accept it, God. And I know I'm not perfect. And I know I'm a sinner. And the closer I get to You, the more I see how sinful I am. But You love me anyway, and I'm so glad. And I'm happy with that arrangement. People who are really converted are happy with that. They're not trying to get God to accept them by somehow being better or doing more for Jesus so He'll love them. No, they're happy with the fact that even though they can't pay the debt, it's been paid on their behalf. I want to invite you today, as we pray, to give your heart to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To say to God, God, I'm not perfect. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I will be till Jesus comes. But the best way to sin less is to get closer to Jesus. Because the closer you get to Christ, the harder it is to do what's wrong. So you can work on keeping the law all you want, and you're going to fail miserably. But if you work on knowing Jesus, then you will keep the law far better. So those of you who are concerned about being obedient, if you do it the way I'm telling you, you'll get more obedience, not less. So it's a win-win, isn't it? Seems like a win-win to me. Let's all admit we're sinners, that we can't keep God's law, that Christ had to keep it for us, and then ask Him to be our Savior, and He comes in through the Holy Spirit, and we'll begin to be more obedient. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, You alone are righteous. You alone are holy. You sent Your Son Jesus to live a perfect life and die on the cross for us. Please forgive us for our sins. Thank You, Lord, for accepting our worship today, even though it's imperfect, because of Your holy righteousness. Now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you'd like to say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Please be my Savior. Write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to accept You as my Savior today. And I want to admit that I'm not perfect, that You're perfect, and Your perfection is the only thing that can save me, not mine. If you'd like to say to Jesus today all of that, and accept him today as your personal Savior, would you just raise your hand this morning? Father in heaven, I'm raising mine, and I see dozens of people with their hands up. Forgive us for being sinful. Wash us in the blood of Jesus and save us, not because of any good works we have done, but because of the works of Jesus Christ. Please credit his perfect character to our account and look at us as if we've never sinned because of what Jesus has done for us. We thank you for all that you've done for us, and we receive the free gift and promise of salvation. In Christ's name, amen.